First One Out presents The People vs. Extinction, a Survivor Season 38 cast preview, hosted by me, Josh Wigler, and brought to you in collaboration with The Hollywood Reporter and Rob Has a Podcast. Chapter 1, Season's Greetings. Survivor debuts its 38th season on February 20th, 2019. It comes with an ominous subtitle and an equally enigmatic twist, The Edge of Extinction. This season of Survivor, when players are voted out, their torches will be snuffed, and they'll be sent along down the long and lonely path so many others have walked before. Except this time, when they reach the end of the path, they'll reach a choice. For anyone who's had enough of the Survivor experience, they can continue down the path and leave the game behind forever. For those who aren't finished, they're instructed to grab a torch and hop into a boat, where they'll be taken to a desolate island far away from tribal. Upon arriving at their new home, they will encounter a barren wasteland, with little for company beyond the winds howling off of the ocean, as well as old shipwreck remnants jutting out of the ground like old bones. The most prominent artifact in the boneyard, a broken mast with a big sail on it, equipped with a sign, "Welcome to the Edge of Extinction." The island's inhabitants will know very little about what they're getting into next, save for the fact that they'll eventually have an opportunity to return to the game. What's more, the other players still in the game will have no idea about this twist either. They'll be in for a rude awakening at some point down the line when they realize their old foes aren't quite as extinct as once thought. Given the premise of The Edge of Extinction, and given the premise of First One Out, I find myself at a bit of an awkward crossroads this preseason. Someone will be voted out first, for sure, but will they accept defeat so easily, or will they march onward to compete in the veritable loser's bracket? Obviously, I can't say. And really, there's very little I can say about The Edge of Extinction as a premise, beyond what I've already described. But here's where I can weigh in. The cast. Limited by what I'm able to share this year, this season's First One Out isn't the story of one unlucky soul who goes home first. It's about all 18 of the people who are about to go up against extinction itself in some way, shape, or form. It's a meat and potatoes cast preview. Or fish and rice, to put it in Survivor's dietary terms. Nothing more, nothing less. Of course, for diehard fans, our first survivors on the board should require very little in the way of introduction. This season, Survivor is bringing back four veteran players for another shot at the $1 million prize. Onkama, dressed in red, Joey Amazing Anglem, the challenge beast of Survivor Worlds Apart in Cambodia fame, as well as Aubrey Bracco, Survivor Ko Rong's runner-up who went on to a fifth-place finish in Survivor Game Changers. Over at Manu, two returnees buffed in blue. Kelly Wentworth of Survivor San Juan del Sur, more popularly known for her second-chance stint in Cambodia, as well as David Wright, the fourth-place finisher of Survivor Millennials vs. Gen X, and the only one of the four returning players who has not already played a second time. With that said, onward to my interviews with The Edge of Extinction's first four All-Stars, with an occasional sidebar here and there for good measure. Chapter 1, Part 1, The Holiday. Hey everybody, Josh Wigler here. First One Out 4, officially about to begin. Here we are, Season 38, Day Negative 1. And today I will be interviewing the four returning players of this season. On seasons in which there has been a mix of returning players and new players, a returning player always makes it to the end. So I feel, if not wins, so I feel like I have to pick one of these people as my winner pick. And I'm having a lot of trouble. There's pros and cons for everybody. This feels like a season designed for Joey Amazing. Kelly Wentworth, obviously incredible. Aubrey has gotten very close twice. David Wright, home field advantage, second time out, could be very excited. But I don't know which one to pick. So, I'm just going to go ahead and pick whichever one walks in first. First person I interview.
That'll be it. That settles the debate. Make it known. Let it be known.
Step into your...
This is you right here, the near one.
Your humigated
this
office.
Is, dude, we're making sure there's no bugs in here. We're like, actually, this is a cover for like my crystal meth operation.
Oh, is this
what's going on?
Just don't blow it up. Yeah.
All right, let me just make sure we're all set. Yeah, dude, we are good to go. All right, I've got a backup running just in case. So the spiel I'll give you that I give everyone is just like, hands off the table, because audio picks it up.
Like
Yeah,
for sure.
Joe.
Yes, Joshua.
The first thing I have to say, I think it's obvious. Your mustache looks fantastic.
Thank you.
Right now.
Thank
like
you
it's
very
just
much.
It's tremendous. There's like a little bit of a twirl.
You can thank Sierra Dawn Thomas for
yes.
this actually. She wanted the I say Salvador Dali, but she wants the it's the holiday, you know, the Doc Holiday.
It's so nice.
Is it nice?
It's good. I really like it.
It's actually really short right now because I cut like that much off. So
by the end of this, like you're going to have like the full handlebar.
Day 39. We're going to be like looking like Orlando Bloom in like the final Pirates movie, hopefully.
I don't think anyone is here to hear about your mustache.
No,
but perhaps.
No, we're good. We can move on.
Joe, welcome back to Survivor, my friend.
Thank you. Oh man,
how are you feeling?
I'm so ready, bro. I'm so ready. Yeah, this is it.
You've been thinking about this for a little while.
Yeah, I have. Every day since Second Chance. So, but I've really tried to cut back on overthinking, because that has been the death of, I think, a lot of players in the past, where you have a lot of time off and you can only go back in your head so many times of all the mistakes you make. But every season's different. You know, you can't say, oh, well, I'm going to not do the same thing I did last season, because it's just a different animal, different people, different scenario. So I am super excited. I'm hungry. I'm ready. Feel good. Feel focused. I don't know. It's good.
So the last
place.
Last time you played, a couple years ago now, and that's the season immediately following your season. And you've got time in between in terms of the shoot, but you have like no time at all in between. You guys wrap the finale and you're on a bus. You're voted back on to Survivor and you're fresh in people's minds. You're immediate in people's minds. Mm-hmm. I remember back then in a sweaty cabana in Cambodia, you were very pumped back then. You felt really ready and good and like solid and ready to go. What's the big difference this time in terms of like the timing, in terms mm-hmm. of the fact that now you've had, you know, some space between that and now? It's been, it's going to be 7 seasons in between.
And it doesn't feel like it. I mean, it only seems like a couple seasons ago to me, but it was good that I did take some time off, really did some self-reflection and looking and analyzing about my past gameplay, where I went wrong, and I think I just overstretched myself. You know, come day 32, I was exhausted. I mean, Cambodia sucked the life out of everybody. But I just wasn't thinking clearly. I got emotional. I made some emotionally charged decisions, and I should have went after, you know, the Jeremy, Tosh, and Spencer train. But since then, I've just really dove into, you know, my own personal life of how I communicate, how I analyze things, analyze situations, and you can really just get blinded by the experience of Survivor. Like as a fan, sometimes you look at the game and you just forget like that you're a player and that you have so much more power than you think. I mean, you feel like you're at the will of all these other people, but you are one of the integral parts of every decision, every conversation. And so that's really going to be my focus this season, is making sure I'm part of all those conversations, making sure I'm being very genuine and real with these other players that I'm coming into this game with, because as much, even though I have all this experience of playing, I can't forget that, you know, there's a lot of, everything's new. Everything, it needs to be new for myself and for everyone else I'm playing with. So not having any air of, you know, I deserve to be here, or, you know, I mean, everyone else is going to say, hey, you already had your two shots, so why do you, you know, why should we keep you around? So just really being present, really being focused on building those relationships, really give, like, caring about everything. I mean, you can't skip a beat in this game or you go home. So yeah, man, it's good. I'm excited. But
so what's life been like the past few years? Tell me what's going on with Joe outside the game. Woo! Give us the update. We haven't seen you in a little while.
I've been working. I've been quietly working. I've been designing tons of I would say it's a multitude of art, jewelry, apparel, t-shirts. I'm building my own brand. I've been fortunate enough to still remain really close with a lot of my, you know, season 30 and even Second Chance season 31 cast, and just getting to know everybody outside the game and doing a lot of nonprofit work with Give Kids the World, Cheer for Your Life with Missy Payne. She has a charity in Texas, and I've just been trying to use some of the fame and the notoriety from you know, my followership or whatever you want to call it, to,
right,
to give back and try to at least just use my, you know, they say, like, use your gift for good. But that's really been a focus, and then building my brand around that so I can continue to, like, even after the, you know, the show ends, how I can impact people in a really positive way and hopefully create some things outside of Survivor that can give people a little bit of what I experienced here, yeah, on the show, which is, you know, get unplugged, get into nature, get back to what's really important, which is, you know, family, relationships, for me, spirituality, relationship with myself,
yeah,
especially too, is important.
And how do you feel about yourself? Are you guys getting along these days? Joe and Joe are hanging out and they're doing okay.
Yeah, we're doing great. And I feel like it's been, I feel like everyone goes through, you know, growth is something that it's inevitable in life, but if you don't fully embrace the hard, tough crap and find a way to move past all that, this game, it really does. It affects your relationships. It affects your, when you come home, you're so compartmentalized and you have your walls up, and we do that in life. We build walls, and I've just learned how to, you know, tear those walls down, how to build good, healthy relationships. And speaking of, I built one with Sierra
Dawn
Thomas.
Yes, the aforementioned.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the deets.
What
give us the hot
know,
goss.
Man?
We want to
know.
We want to know everything. But this is exciting, of course. Dirty 30, close cast.
We are.
You guys are all very close. Lots of great friendships emerge from
yes.
that. And it's been
true.
Exciting from afar to see that some some love has blossomed from this
yeah.
as well.
I mean, so obviously she voted me out. Which is kind of fun, and she reminds me every day. But we were just close friends, and everyone saw something. I mean, there was obviously some form of chemistry that we both missed, and we just developed a really good, healthy relationship, and then we were best friends, and all of a sudden it just kind of turned into, like, cuddling, and just a really... she's just an amazing person. Like, the more I get to know her every single day, I just find myself more in love, like, with, like, the person that she is. And yeah, I'm very, very blessed that, I mean, I always knew Survivor was going to be a part of my life. And I knew that I was on a path, but I didn't know it was on a path, like, I think, to find her.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's weird. You don't think, like, I never would have thought I would have found a really amazing person that I could potentially share my life with on the show. But yeah, now it's like, you know, we've been dating almost a year, and
it's crazy.
It's beautiful. I'm learning a lot about horses, and I've been spending a ton of time with her family in Utah, and we're just really happy. And we're not, you know, it's not that complicated. You know, we have learned to get past a lot of, you know, everyone has issues. Everyone's got out their shit, but we are in a really good place, and I miss her. Like, I mean, I've only been here a couple days.
Yeah.
And it was a hard goodbye. It was a hard...
Yeah, talk me through that. I mean, especially because, you know, she's played twice now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's played here. She's played in Fiji.
Yeah.
She give you any kind of heads up of what to expect?
I picked her brain. I picked her brain for, the last couple weeks. You know, she said it's hard. It's cold, and it's rainy, and it's not as bad as Cambodia, but there's only so much, you know, you can prepare for in the game. But as far as having someone who fully understands what the other has gone through and will go through, but neither of us were in a relationship when we were both played both times in the past.
Right.
So now we're both sitting on the other side of where everyone else is sat, which is like the loved one who's going away to play Survivor. And it's definitely, much more emotional, much more real. And now I have a lot more to play for, you know what I mean? I'm playing even harder, I think, this time around. So
yeah,
it's cool. It's really cool.
Well, I was going to ask about that. You know, you mentioned how when you got out there for 30, when you go out there for Worlds Apart, you have no idea that Survivor is putting you on that path, that you're on the path towards a person. What do you feel like you're on the path towards now that you're out here for 38?
W, bro. Yeah, no, I
well, you're sitting in front of a W, right?
Well, yes. Yeah, no, well, yeah, this is true. Yes. But I don't know what it is, but I pray a lot. I reflect a lot, and something just felt really right about coming back and saying yes. And
because I can't imagine this is the first time that this has been an option, like Game Changers. I can't imagine you don't get the call for 34.
I did decline in the past because it was so hard. I mean, it really took a lot out of my sails. So it's hard to explain, but this game, and especially because I had so little time in between my first and second season.
You got to get your life back a little.
And it really, man, it's just hard to explain. It puts you through the ringer, and you have to, it does take some time. Take some time to heal and, like I said, break down those walls and communicate to your family and friends, like, hey, I'm not the same. Like, I've gone through a lot, and I didn't realize all the, personal things that this game really, it challenges you. It forces you to, like, go to that limit and beyond. So this has been, my journey. I don't know. I feel like I'm still on a bigger path. I feel like it's not just Survivor and even winning, but there's more for me to do. Like, God has a bigger plan for me in even after the game. So I can't exactly tell you what it is, but
I know it is.
I know it is, and I know it feels right. It feels good. And I'm excited to see what the next 40 some odd days we got here.
Yeah.
So it'll be good.
Chapter 1, Part 2, Hummingbird. It's the night of the Survivor Ghost Island finale. In the aftermath of Wendell Holland's narrow victory over Dominic Abate, members of the Survivor community have gathered in Hollywood for celebratory drinks, fans and former players alike. One former player, a friend now from over the years, dances through the crowd with wild energy, floating fast like a hummingbird. Two nights later, I'm at the airport for my flight out to Fiji, where Survivor has filmed for 6 seasons and counting now. I'm an hour or two early, anxious to get things started. Turns out, I don't need to leave the country in order for the journey to begin. I only need to get as far as the airline's ticket counter, when I'm suddenly standing in line with an old friend.
I found out long ago,
whoa,
that the person at the airport is Aubrey Bracco.
Whoa,
Aubrey Bracco.
Whoa,
Aubrey Bracco.
So how did this happen? Because I'm blindsided.
I am totally blindsided.
Yeah. I mean, I'm walking to the airport, I'm walking down the way, and just, you know, thinking it's gonna, you know, I've got a long flight ahead of me, and I'm, like, just getting myself, like, tired and ready to go, and who should be standing right by the ticketing station but my good friend Aubrey Bracco, who I never expected to see.
Oh, and you just seen me at the Ghost Island finale.
I had just seen you at the Ghost Island finale, at the Ghost Island after party, which took you a long time to ghost from.
Yep.
I was shocked. I'm still in shock. Walk me through it. How did this happen?
I did a good job.
You did a very good job.
I'm very proud of myself. No, I get really annoyed when people spoil stuff. I really do. I mean, please, you can call me what you want. That's a brown nosing to production, whatever you want to say. But, like, this takes 7 weeks of your life. You leave your job. You leave your family. It takes the next year of your life until it happens. And I just respect when people keep their mouths shut. And I wasn't able to figure out anything about other people here, and I suspect there are some returnees, but I really don't know who they are except for the one that I flew out here with, Man Bun Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Anglim. So I just kept it zipped. It's not that hard, survivors. Take note, because most of you don't.
Why did you want to do this again? Talk me through it, and, like, talk me through that whole process of, like, when this became a possibility for you.
Sure.
And when, like, in your heart and in your mind, you were ready for it. Because I know that coming off of 34, you were not.
I was definitely not. I've been through a lot of life changes in the past year. I'm out of a long-term relationship. Moved to Los Angeles. Moved from corporate America to a scrappy startup. Working at Cousins Maine Lobster. Doing social media with entrepreneurs that got their start on Shark Tank. And I've learned a lot of lessons in that time. I kind of joke to myself that the past 4 years have been Survivor, and the summer I had off, I went and I just shook up my whole life. Maybe that says something about an addiction to chaos, but I didn't want Game Changers to be the end of my journey, because it was so frustrating to feel like from day one, I love her now, but Sandra was like, I'm not, from hour one, Sandra was like, I'm not working with you. And that was hard to ever get any numbers there, and then it was just same song and dance over and over. People kept getting murdered on me, meaning voted out. I'm so dramatic. And I just didn't want it to be the end. And when Jeff called, I really appreciated how he approached it. Like, I want you to want to do this. And I thought about it. I had my moments. I'm still having
when
a couple...
When was that call?
Late March, maybe?
Wow.
I can't quite remember. But he called, and I said, give me a few minutes. Give me 24 hours. And, you know, there's part of me now, like, what is this? But the thing is, I've also had the full experience, right? I've gotten to go to the end of the season that I no longer will discuss, because that horse is deader than the horse in The Revenant that Leonardo DiCaprio went into.
A dead horse.
It's a dead horse, and if people want to discuss it, they can keep warm in that carcass, but I'm not. That's what
you're
I said.
You're out of the Tauntaun.
I'm out of the Tauntaun. I am out of the Tauntaun. Yes. Yep. I'm done with the Tauntaun and on to the whatever the heck this is. So I forget where I was going with that, but yeah, I didn't want that Game Changers to be the end. It wasn't the end for me. So, and I also love Survivor. I've seen the whole thing. I have nothing to lose. Like, I'm not looking for validation from anybody externally. I get it from myself. I know what I'm capable of. So it can be a very painful experience, but what do you have to lose when you've done it twice? And yeah. I mean, I also know that the game is more luck than most people would care to admit who are new players. So let's see what cards I get.
Yeah. So you didn't tell anybody.
Sorry, Andrea.
You kept this really locked up.
Sorry, Zeke.
So when you when you said yes and you knew that this was happening,
yeah,
how did you start preparing? Who were there sounding boards? Like, how did you, like, were you your own sounding board? Like, what was the preparation process for coming back out here?
Well, I had to find a way to get my job back.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like it's going to be working out, and I stealthily navigated that. The people that signed my NDA, my mom, my dad, my sister. Those are the boards. It's a Bracco Family Summit.
What does the Bracco Family Summit have to say about this?
The Bracco Family Summit loves Survivor to the point where I'm like, you know, guys, like, this is it. This is really it. All right? Really, really it. Let's know what to do. Got to do my job. I got one job. I'm on to the next season, as Bill Belichick would say, and I'm going to play the game that I want to play.
What's the game you want to play?
I always joke with Zeke that we both recently moved to LA, and we always joke that when you move to LA, people are going to think I'm nuts, whatever. You think of the universe with a capital U when you move to Los Angeles, and I don't know, I really believe that everything in life does happen for a reason, and I've been seeing a lot of hummingbirds. I know that sounds crazy, but my sister's done a lot of studies in, like, animal totems and that stuff, and I looked up the meaning of the hummingbird, and it's so interesting. Its wings actually move in the flight. Its wings move in an infinity pattern. So you are able to navigate your past, present, and future while enjoying the lighter things of life, not getting bogged down, flitting from flower to flower to seek the sweetest one. And that's how I want to play. I can get a little too intense. I'm not going to lie. I feel myself going back into anxious Aubrey day one, which I don't love, but I know I can spot my emotions more quickly and say, okay, logically, stop acting like this.
Yeah.
You are your emotions. So I want to be like a hummingbird. Flit around to more people. Everyone, I'm an open book. And Game Changers, I actually was talking to a lot of people. I want to do that now with new people. And the advantage I have is that even though people might see me as a threat, I know the game in terms of the small things, like the small reads and tells, but I really want to focus on the larger ones this time of like, okay, here we're in the fear portion of the game. People are afraid right now. What do I want to do? I'll be their therapist. I'll be their big sister. Okay, people are in the desperate portion of the game. When someone is desperate, what do? You take the person at the bottom. And then when people are stable and feeling calm, that's where I'll take down my lower lip and there'll be a 666 tattoo to it that you didn't know I had. So if people are feeling calm, like that's what I did in the season I won't name, where I neutralized the super idol when I waited for the moment when everyone was feeling just calm enough. And that's when I was going to strike. So there's some rambling for you.
No, it's great. So you're not going to name the season.
No, I'm done
with it. So in terms of like coming into this, are you focused more on how Game Changers played out for you?
I think,
and like kind of like you said, like reversing that curse.
No, yeah, Game Changers, it really is. There's something incredibly visceral about being in the same place.
I was gonna ask.
It's so intense. It's so insane. Actually, the morning that Jeff called me, just to go back to ask if I wanted to come on 38, which we 38 blindfolded.
Yes.
Was that I went for a run that morning and I smelled Survivor when I was running. I swear to you. It smelled like Survivor.
What does Survivor smell like?
It's damp and there's a whiff of campfire. And I was in Los Angeles and I'm like, that's really weird. And then Jeff called and I was like, that's really weird. But yeah, I think that I will say the name. Ko-Rong Aubrey was the way I like to play. I'm not always used to playing when I'm, like, in control. And quite frankly, I don't know if I'm ever comfortable when I'm fully in control. Like, I have to be in a bit of chaos. So, maybe I'm... No, I don't know. I think I just need to have fun. I know that's so cheesy and simple, but there's a very mischievous part of me that people know in real life that is very, like, light and airy and a little more of the Gemini and Sagittarius in my chart and a little less Scorpio, which always comes out on Survivor. A little more hummingbird, if you will. I'm trying to capture that. I might not feel it right now, but I know that people feel comfortable with me. I know that these people that are going to be out here, if there are new people, have seen me have a breakdown on TV. They know I'm relatable. And I want to use my reputation to my advantage. And I think that even if I don't want to talk about the outcome of 32, I know that's how I'm known for. I'm known for food reactions in 34, which was fine with me. I was nothing. I was not driving the game whatsoever. So, Yeah, it's like, I just want a proper end to my Survivor journey.
I think, so I said it on a podcast relatively recently, like a year ago by the time this is coming out, and I got like a little bit of flack for it, but you just said something that reminded me of it, which is like, if I were coming out to play,
right,
like if it were me, the attitude that I would want to have, I think that there is this idea and there's this narrative that's being beaten down right now about like, you have to come out here to play to win. Like, you have to have that mentality. And I think that an element of that, for sure, is correct. Why else are you here? You're here to win. But for me, what I would like to tell myself, what I'd like to think I would tell myself, is I go out there and play to have fun. Have a fun time. Have a good time. Be a little fancy free. Enjoy the moment. Soak that up. Play a little wild. That sounds a little bit like what you just described.
Of course I'm here to win.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not, why are you here?
Yeah.
I've had people say, oh, I just want the experience. Well, that doesn't feel very great on day 39 when you just want the experience and you're sitting in front of the jury. Of course I want to win, but right now I'm in the phase of the game of, I got to get in the headspace. There are a lot of unknowns right now. In my mind, there are 18 unknowns. I'm not gonna, the thing that happens in Survivor, when you start thinking too far ahead, you're screwed.
Yeah.
That's why, it's not that I'm not here to win, absolutely, I'm here to cut throats. Like, I got an itch and there's some horns sprouting. I'm gonna use some Sandra and some Sarah in my gameplay. But right now, the mindset has to be, you gotta have fun with it. Because I will tell you, when I won my first individual immunity, the stacking of the blocks, fingers crossed, knock on wood, that there's more.
But more blocks.
Yeah, but I don't want to get my hopes up or ahead. That morning, I was just like, I'm going to have fun. It's like senior spring. When you stop giving a hoot, you get the best grades. And I'm not saying that because it's not a thing about hunger or ambition. I have almost too much ambition. The biggest lesson I learned from Survivor is that you can't control everything. And I think a lot of people in life should have the lesson that they need to take more responsibility for their actions. But for mine, it was that you can't control everything, because if you hold that puppy too tightly, you're going to suffocate it and it's going to die. So for me, it's hummingbird. Got to find the nectar in life. Got to have fun while you're doing it, because you do your best work when you're at ease. Look at Wendell.
Yeah.
That dude was so chill. He was so inspiring to watch. Like, I loved Dom's game. I absolutely loved it. But I'd look at Wendell and like, dude is so chill right now. When I'm chill, which I am sometimes, believe it or not.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I can be. There is that element where, like, there are neurotic archetypes in Survivor, but I think there is a steadiness that people are sometimes drawn to where they're like, she's a little kooky, but, like, there is a stable foundation there. I'm trying to cut to that first.
You're trying to find your toothpick.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Yes, exactly.
Through.
Like, I want people to see the therapist, Aubrey, the older sister role I often play, the trusted confidant. That's the person that they need to see first. And in Survivor, for me, it is often, like, the paranoia on day one or two. So that's why I'm saying have fun.
Survivor. Season 31. Day Zero. A long time ago, in a Cambodian cabana far, far away.
Can you tell me anything? Like, can you tell me if people were crazy? No, fuck, all right.
Sorry. I wish with RHAP fraternity.
I thought maybe. No. And look at her glasses. Like, I thought we had something here. Okay, fine, whatever.
No, I have to be an upstanding journalist.
Oh, fine.
I can tell you this cast is crazy awesome.
I know that for sure.
You know, it's pretty wild. I mean.
So you're excited.
I'm pumped.
Okay, good.
How are you feeling?
I feel good.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to get this damn thing started,
sure,
though, because it's like, what are we on, like, day 10 or something?
It's been a while.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm good. I mean,
yeah,
this is crazy. Like, I knew I had an uphill battle because,
right,
I was, like, a pre-merge person and, like, whatever. So I worked my buns off
to
be here.
Totally. So
yeah.
were you surprised to make the cut? It looks, you look authentically surprised in the video.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, it was crazy because, like, Jeff was going so fast. So
yeah,
when he said my name, I felt like it had to be me because he was trying to get through people. So
right,
I was kind of like, okay, I hope so.
Right.
And then just based on who I was sitting with, and
yeah,
once Monica went, I was like, I kind of felt like it would be me, yeah. But you never know when Jeff says your name.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah, but I was happy.
So you're, as you said, uphill battle, creamer, yeah. Creamer.
Underdog Wentworth, always.
Underdog Wentworth, all the time.
Always, yes.
How do you feel that suits you here, though? Do you think that's a good reputation that you're coming into this with?
I hope so, because, like, so when people are asking me to look at the cast and talk about who I'd align with and all this stuff,
right.
I keep forgetting, like, Monica.
Right.
And, like, I hope that I'm kind of, like,
you hope
same
that people
person.
Are forgetting you as well.
Yeah, exactly, because I feel like Abby Cass, like, Spencer Fishback, these are people that I'm constantly talking about because they just come to my mind right away.
Sure.
So I am hoping that people look at me like, oh, she's like the blonde girl that couldn't even vote out her dad. Like,
right.
What the hell is she gonna do?
Right.
That would be the ideal situation.
That's what you want.
Because then no one's gonna expect that I'm doing anything necessarily.
So what are they not expecting? What's coming?
I want to do something that I did similar last time, which was, like, you know, have one or two people I'm super close to, and then just branch out from there. I think, like, I'm looking at this cast, and there's a ton of heroes, like, a lot of good guys.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be super crazy. Like, I'm not going to name myself, like, Chaos Kelly.
Yeah.
That's just too ridiculous. But I definitely, like, I'm not here to, like, sing camp songs at
right.
the time. Like, I want to make these people's lives miserable.
Right.
So I think Boston Rob said once, like, fear keeps people loyal.
Right.
That was him, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I just want to make things a little crazy, you know? Like, I think that's all I can do.
Stir it
up. But then I don't want people to know it's me.
Right.
And I don't think they'll suspect me.
Right.
But then to the cameras, like, oh, hey, don't forget. See that? Yeah.
Right.
Like, who did that?
Chapter 1, Part 3, A Crazy Person. Survivor, Season 38, Day 0.
Knock, knock.
Hello.
Oh, hello there.
How are you?
Oh my God.
Did you know you were going to see me?
I did not, and I'm excited.
You knew.
I'm excited. I knew I would see you someday.
Oh, you didn't know today, though?
Well, I knew today. But I didn't know in, like, the days leading up.
Oh.
But I knew I would see you back on Survivor eventually.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Life is okay?
Yeah, it's good. Am I a crazy person to be back here?
No,
maybe.
God, no. Absolutely not. Well, you're a crazy...
Don't lie to me.
You're a crazy person to have been selected for Survivor in the first place.
Yeah.
So automatically you're a crazy person.
Exactly.
But to come back, I don't know if that means, like, you're doubling down on the crazy or if this is, like,
tripling
where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, hold on. Let me just make sure all my shit is going.
Yeah, no, you're good.
The spiel I'll give you is, like, if we touch the table too much,
Kay.
This picks it up. So we just got to be careful with all that.
Okay.
I think we're going. Yeah, we're good.
A nice little fluffy guy.
I know. We've upgraded since Cambodia.
Yeah, you have.
The equipment has grown.
Yeah, it's good.
I've grown. It's terrible.
You're fine.
It's terrible. You've grown. Life has been spectacular for you, it seems.
Yeah, I've gotten older. It tends to happen.
What's going on? What's up with Kelly Wentworth? You've been, like, I feel like you've been a ninja for the past little while.
Why, just, like,
you've just been, like, yeah, like, so, like, suddenly you'll be on Twitter and then you won't. It's like no one knows what's going on with Wentworth.
I just like to keep people on my toes.
Yeah, so what's going on? What's going on?
Well, I did get married last summer.
That's right.
So I'm
congratulations.
Sure people saw that. Thank
yes.
you. So now I'm a taken lady.
How's that going? How's the whole...
It's good.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It's, like, people say... like, did everything change? And no, it didn't change.
Right.
We lived together before that. We had dogs. But it does bring you, like, closer in this way because you're like, oh, like, I did vow to never leave this person. So
right.
I guess we're going to have to get through our shit whether we like it or not. And, like, you're not going to leave because it's too bad. You
right.
signed the paper.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's been good.
But you've left
yeah.
for the summer.
Yeah, I've left. This is the third time now. Because he was with me through the other two. So, yeah. But he's supportive. He's like, yeah, go do it. Obviously, win the million this time.
Yeah. But he's been through
so,
this. He knows what to expect.
He knows. Yeah, he's excited. Yeah.
He's missed your birthdays, your summer birthdays.
Yeah, this will be my third one.
Oh, my God.
We're missing our wedding anniversary.
When was your wedding?
June 30th.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. He's like, just get to the family.
Yeah.
Get to the family. He's like, you at least owe me that. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So,
but
yeah,
life's,
we'll see.
But life's been good.
Good.
And you've been, like... actively, intentionally unplugged, just kind of like focusing on your own stuff?
Yeah, good question. So what I try to explain to people about Survivor is that there's so much more than just 39 days.
Yes.
It's like before it happens, you're having to do all these things. And then after it happens, there's this time when you're preparing for it and there's the announcements of the cast and then it's airing and you're going through all that. And with Second Chance, it was so much more because of the vote. And so I just needed a break and
yeah.
then I kind of just...
extended that break, and it was like, oh, this is kind of nice. And I've transitioned a little bit into more of like Instagram, because I feel like it's a more positive place sometimes.
Sure.
Whereas Facebook is just like totally out the window. I feel like it's just like this black hole.
Yes, we lost it.
Awful. And then Twitter is like, you know, it's still
ebbs
fine,
and flows.
But yeah, but sometimes it's like, do I really want to deal with this? And I'm sure I'll be...
I felt like I smelled a comeback, and then, like, you posted about, like, a car thing.
Yeah, and some dude was like, you're being dangerous. I was like, bro, I'm literally sitting on my couch. Like, this just happened 5 minutes ago. Like, he's like, either way, you shouldn't be tweeting. I'm like, I can't. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I can't even go back on for 2 minutes and type something out. And someone was like, got some shit to say. Like,
right.
I just wasn't ready. So I tried to make the comeback, but it wasn't time.
So this is why you might be a crazy person, because you have found that place of peace away from the internet, away from all of us nonsense people, and now you're going to have to be back. Like, now you're opening yourself up again to, you're going to be the subject of many a Reddit thread all of that. Yeah. Are you prepared?
I guess so. I feel like it can't get really, well, I guess it could, but I would hope it wouldn't get much worse than what people were saying when I got voted on Second Chance.
Right.
Like, that was probably, like, hopefully the bottom, like, the deepest it could go. But if I get voted out first, maybe there'll be some comments. So let's just cross our fingers that doesn't happen.
But
so,
when you read those things, at that time, you knew how you had done in Cambodia.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew that you had reversed the curse of sorts.
Yeah.
That you know, you didn't win, but you got so close.
I know.
Very, very close.
It still hurts my soul. But, yeah, so it's funny because in my mind, I had this, like, big middle finger to, like, everybody who's still talking shit. I was like, oh, really? Watch me! Like, you know, which is, why do I care about strangers' opinions? It's so ridiculous.
It's baked into all of our DNA at this
point.
It's
not just me, right?
It's not just
like,
you.
It's this world we live in with all this social media. It's like, you can't help yourself. Even if you say, I'm not gonna do it, it's like, I'll get 100 positive comments, and the one will just...
It's the one that kills
just,
you every
like,
time.
Trigger me!
I get it.
So,
I feel it.
But anyway, but yeah, I'm going back in, so you'll see me back just diving on into the social media world. Deep, deep, yeah, making it through.
So you're back into, you'll be back into that, but you're also back into Survivor.
Yeah.
Like I said, I felt like this was inevitable. Like, I felt like you coming back, it would really only be up to you if you didn't want to do it, but it would be like, it would be a no-brainer for Survivor to want you to come back, which is, you know, it's amazing, though, because it's such a different position from where you found yourself in coming into round two, where it was like a shot in the dark that you'd even get the second chance.
It's so true.
So, like, how has that been, like, in terms of, like, the aftermath of Cambodia and kind of, like, dealing with your second Survivor identity?
Yeah, it's so interesting, and I've said this to a couple people, you know, already, just, like, talking about coming on this season. Every season I've played has been so incredibly different. So the first time, it was with a loved one. Like, I was probably crazy for doing that. The second time, didn't even know if I was going to make the damn show.
Right.
And then, you know, after that, obviously I did really well, but I was physically worn down, like mentally. And then I feel it's tough now because I felt like then I had something to prove. Like, I was like, I'm going to show everybody, like, you know, I can do it. And it wasn't even for myself almost. It was for like other people, which again is so ridiculous. But now, like, this one's for me.
Yeah.
Like, this is... I feel like I know what I can do. I've proved it. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. Even, again, if I go out early, which, you know, I'm not even going to put those thoughts into the universe. But if I did, like, I would know that I still have done everything I feel like. Like, I will do everything before going out. Like, I'm not going to leave anything on the table. So if I go out, it will be in a blaze of glory, and that's it. So it's just really about having fun this time and... Yeah, doing it for me.
Did you always know that you wanted to do a third one? Like, when did that click in for you? Or was there a time where you're like, nope, that was good enough?
Yeah. After Cambodia, I was like, fuck this. Keith Neal was right. Going on a cruise is fun. Survivor is not fun. I don't care what anybody says in their exit press. Like, oh, it was a great experience. Oh, fuck that. No, it is awful. No, bad. Okay? It's terrible. Like, not having toilet paper for 39 days, not eating, the stress, like... No, Survivor is seriously not fun. So after that, no, I really didn't want to do it. I was so just worn down and needed time. And then I think, you know, as the time goes on, it's like, okay, like, that was really fun. You start to forget the negative parts of it.
It's like pain. You know it sucks, but you don't remember what it felt like.
So I kind of equate it to, and I've never had a child, but I've heard women talk about, like, they've had a child, and, like, it was so awful when it happened, But then, like, a year or two goes by, and they, like, miss that small baby, and they want it back, and they're like, oh, it's fine, I can do it again. Like, I can totally have another one, and that's kind of how I feel surviving.
Right.
You know? So, I'm like, oh, this is good now. Like, I feel ready.
So you're ready for round three. You're back out here, and now that you're here, now that you're in Fiji, how are you feeling about, like, actually having your boots on the ground back here, and survivors, like, it's not just, like, a theoretical return. You have returned.
Yeah, it feels good. I feel very, like, my mind feels very at peace, which seems strange because the last few times I've been very, like, nervous and just didn't know what to expect exactly. And now I just know that a lot of Survivor you can't predict and you can't control, which I love to control things. Like, yeah. I make lists. I like to plan, like, my vacation down to, like, the day. And so I just know that you just have to let that stuff go. And just, it is literally a day-by-day game. So I feel good. I feel calm, surprisingly.
You feel like there's just so much that's out of your hands when you play this game. Like, that seems like a really underrated, underreported for, like, idiots like me who, like, pick apart every episode and stuff. Like, there's just so much stuff that there's no way that we could account for, let alone, like, God, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think, too, in the past few seasons, it's just getting more and more. Like, I mean, I can expect we'll probably have two or three swaps. And that is, it's all just chance. Like, I can't control who I'm going to be with. So I think initially I have to just build these strong relationships, which I knew in Second Chance initially, just so that people, you don't go to a new tribe and they're like, yeah, well, she doesn't mean anything to us anyway. We can cut ties. I mean, there's all these different advantages and obviously idols. And so you just, all you can do is play with the knowledge you have and just take it day by day and just build up to the end.
Yeah. So you've been watching Survivor.
I still love Survivor, Josh, of course.
Of course. So what have you thought about how the game has moved since your season? Because, you know, Cambodia really felt like, you know, that was like lighting the match and then some shit exploded after that. Yeah. Like, how are you feeling about kind of like the state of the game? Does it still feel like pretty much what you left?
As far as how it's like changed a little bit? It does feel the same. I feel like I was lucky in that I've played in these later seasons, and so there were a lot more of these kind of advantages and idols and all this stuff.
So it's like already baked into your initial.
Yeah, like I expect swaps. If we didn't have a swap, I'd be completely shocked. So it does all feel familiar, but with Survivor, they're always trying to add twists, so I can't, you know, I can't plan for everything. I can only plan for what I know and hope that the rest just shakes out in my favor. I mean, even coming down to what tribe you start on. I mean, if you look at, like, I'm just going to reference the Boss and Rob season he won. You know, you have Russell, which, I mean, Russell was Russell.
Right.
Okay, like, he kind of dug his own grave. But his tribe initially, in those interviews, was like, we don't want him here. Rob's tribe was like, we love Rob.
Right.
So it's just, it really, even just the way you start the game can just set the tone for your game. So it's just like, crazy.
How do you think you're going to start the game? In terms of, like, when you played Second Chance, the big question was, like, no one knew what you could do.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, some people, like, probably just, like,
went worthless.
Right. You know,
how dare you?
You know, outright, like, people probably, like, there were probably people on your season who were like, wait. It just, like, didn't, like, study the game tape or anything. Yeah. But now, like, you look at, like, Survivor bios from, like, the last, you know, 5-6 seasons, and it's, like, Survivor contestant you're most like, Kelly Wentworth.
Do people say that?
Oh, have you not looked at any of these Survivor bios in the past few seasons?
I have gone from, like, super fan to just, I'm chill now.
Yeah, casual. You're filthy casual.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Survivor did to me.
Yeah.
So I hope that this, you know, rekindled my full love for Survivor. Yeah.
Or
I
just
don't know.
Fully snuffs it. Yeah, it's definitely been on there quite a bit.
That's nice.
But, you know, before it was like you go in with no reputation. Now, like, you had the run that you did.
I know.
So what does that do? Like, I remember last time talking to you, you're like, I'm excited about the fact that I might be the person people are forgetting.
Yeah.
This time, you got to imagine that that's going to be
difficult.
Probably
not
going to
happen. Yeah. Yeah. I think the best thing for me, I do have a couple advantages, I hope. So the fact that I played from the bottom, like I was never controlling things, right? So I was doing what I had to do to get by.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that people remember that. I was very strong with the alliance I had, which was Sierra and Abby. And so I rode with freaking Abby Maria for how many votes, and people wanted her out because she was so wild, and I feel like I was able to help control that situation. So I am loyal to the people I'm with. Like I said that in that stinking tribal, like I really am, like I will be with you, like I will have your back. And then I think probably the toughest thing though is going to be the idol thing, because
everybody's going to be watching you every challenge.
Yeah, like I'm talking, you know, just thinking what like, I can't be the person now that goes off and gathers the firewood, because if I go off by myself, so what do I do? Do I create this, like, buddy system? Like, because I still want to find the idol, and I don't want to tell anybody, but what's the second best option?
Yeah.
Like, if I can have it in my possession, I would at least like to know who has it, because then you can control that portion of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to have to tweak things. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, that's how it's going to be. I mean, that's what happens when you play a decent game.
But in terms of the, like, the general approach that you had last time, do you think that's going to be very different, or do you think that, like, kind of your philosophy on how you approach second chance is pretty intact?
I think, I mean, I'm always going to be, like, full steam ahead, but I do think that I want to try and make it more about the other people's experience, because I've had this, so I want to try and show them, like, hey, like, let's have fun, or this is how it was for me, and, like, let's try and do this, and just make them feel good. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so
am
it's
I
more like...
the question,
yeah, totally.
Of?
So it's more like an external thing for you.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Put and it on other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't want... Because there already is a target on me, I don't want everything to be about me.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be like, oh, no, this is you, or, like, if there's a target on me, like, you guys can get rid of me later. Like, let me help you with what I know now.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's the only way to do it.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Josh.
Hi, this is Josh. Who do I have?
You have David Wright.
David, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. This is really insane. Just a gush. I'm more used to hearing your voice while I'm running. big fan of RHAP and your room, and also I've actually been listening to Evolution of Strategy as well.
Nice.
So this is a real thrill.
Oh, man. So you're preparing the exact wrong way. You should not be listening to a fucking thing like
that. Well, I'll tell you, man, there's so much information to absorb. I don't think I could possibly absorb it all. But, yeah, it's very helpful to me.
Yeah, for sure. So how are you feeling right now, man?
It's, I was telling someone just the other day, it feels like I'm just waiting to, like, wake up in a hospital bed and find out, like, I'm imagining all of this.
Yep.
You know, so it's like it doesn't even feel like it's happening. And this has, like, been a huge dream of mine. And so, yeah, the fact that I'm here, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, I hate to be the guy, but this is a dream, and this is where you wake up and it's over.
Ah, shit. I knew you were just a figment.
I know. It's the voices in your head. They're real.
Yeah, seriously. That actually was one of the questions on the psych exam. It was like, do you sometimes think that, that the, you know, the world isn't real? I'm like, well, not till now, you know.
Well,
but anyway,
that, you know, that plays directly on what you say your three words to describe yourself: OCD, nervous, paranoid. I would not be surprised if there were a couple people talking to you.
Oh my God, yeah, seriously. Like, and it's like, I actually just, because I am a very anxious, nervous person, and I just bought this book called Embracing the Fear.
Uh-huh.
I only read 4 pages of it, but I think I got it. But yeah, that's the thing I'm most nervous about. Is my anxiety that I'm gonna, like, it's gonna wreck my game. You know, you can't, like, wear that on your sleeve out there.
Right. Yeah, so what's the fix for that? You know, what are you doing to combat that, or what are you planning to do to combat that?
Well, I mean, I'm going to do my best to hide it, and I'm going to, hopefully, my strategy is to use, like, the confessionals to just really vent my anxiety and my, you know, my paranoia, and just, this other thing, I don't even know if you're allowed to print this or not, but, like, one of the things I want to do, like, the more I know about what's going on in the game, the better I'll feel.
Yeah.
And so... one of the things I want to do, I want to, like, make a fake immunity idol, and
yeah.
I want to hide it in the rice.
Oh, wow.
For somebody else to find. And that way,
not,
it's like...
not only can I write this, I am writing this because you want to refer back to this when this is all over.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, that's one of my plans, and I'm, you know, who knows what, like, you know, quote unquote fish I'll catch with it, but hopefully it'll be someone that that I don't like or don't want to, I'm not aligned with, and I can watch them now, I can watch them play it.
Chapter 1, Part 4, Scene of the Crime.
Dave Wright.
Yes?
Welcome back to Survivor.
I thought you were dead.
Part of me did die.
Okay.
Part of me has been here since Ghost Island, and I've just been lurking.
Yeah, I've never been interviewed by a ghost before. This is really exciting.
This is a first. How are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not... It's a different kind of anxiety. Like, there's obviously a familiarity of this locale, and I think I have a good, much better handle on what events to expect and when. But at the same time, I remember now how hard the first time was. And here I am before it's even started. And I'm thinking about those kind of trials. And it's a lot.
What's the thing that's like spooking you the most when you think about that stuff?
It's being away from friends and family. As well as obviously, you know, the fundamental things of, you know, starvation and, fatigue. Also, I think the game seems to have changed so much since I played last that, like, I feel like I'm now part of old school Survivor.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Especially, you know, with the fire making challenge and everything. Although, to be honest, that gives me a lot of confidence because I think...
I was going to say, like, I love your shot in a fire making challenge. You're really good with fire.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel great about it. To be honest, I'm much better than I even was. I've been practicing in my kitchen, and honestly, like listening to you and Zeke, as you were trying to make it, I've now gotten it down to 20 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. And I realize now, by the way, it wasn't until the last couple of months that I really like figured out the secret. And I've been doing it wrong out here. When I played last time, even though I was able to get it going, it took a while. And now,
what's the secret? Give me the trick. Okay. What's the magic bullet?
So I don't know if you were doing this, but really what you do is, obviously, you shave magnesium. Some people cut it. Don't cut it. You shave it, and you go really fast, and you just get tiny little bits. Then you scoop up all the magnesium, and you put it into the little tinder, and then it's one strike. Don't hit it like this. You just press down, like, the whole time, and you keep the blade on it the whole time, and then just a shower of sparks goes in, and it lights up instantly.
And you've got that down to 20 seconds.
Yes. And I'm like, so now, to me, Final Four is really Final Three. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Right.
Yeah.
So people, you know, the internet is all abuzz about, is the Final Four thing good? Is it bad? Like, we're still trying to pick it apart because we're so young in that era of the show. Certainly sounds like you feel like it could benefit you.
Oh.
As a survivor, not just as a player, but as a fan, like, do you think that it changes strategy at all? Like, do you have to really account for that Final Four now in a new way that you wouldn't have had to before?
Oh, I think you really do. I think now, and by the way, I want to give my girlfriend all due credit because we've been, like, brainstorming the last 2 months. Like, what do we need to do? And really, I think now you get out the biggest threat at 6. And hopefully you have an idol to play at 5. And then 4, you get into Final Three sitting next to the 2 people you can beat. So I think it changes it that way a little bit. I worry also that because it is now fire making such a fundamental part of the game, everyone's going to be able to do it. So I think my odds have gone down a little bit, but I still have confidence that because it took me 2 years to master it, I feel like I'll be all right.
One of the things that I love about you so much, and it's been such a great honor to get to know you a little bit outside of all of this stuff, but like you're a true Survivor nerd. Like, the show did not diminish that for you.
No, not at all. I mean, I will be honest, when I got back, when I came back after the first time I played, it was right before the finale of Koh Rong, and I watched it in a daze. I couldn't tell what was happening because I had just gotten back like a few days before. And so it took me a while to like sort of recoup and then fall back in love with Survivor. But I am fully in love with Survivor, and I want to do something new now in it.
Yeah. But I feel like you've been preparing for this. Like, since you got, I don't know if it's since you got home or since the show ended your season or anything, but I have always felt like it was just a question of when you would come back, not if. I always knew that you would want to do it.
I would, and I am.
And it was just a matter of, like, when would that line up? And so it's lined up now. But what I love is you've been, you know, you just talked about you've got fire down to 20 seconds, and that's certainly part of, like, your recent prep. But I feel like you've been staying sharp since you've come off the show.
I've been trying, you know. I've built so many more puzzles. I know, I remember you did one. You did the Cochran flame puzzle from Caramel.
We don't need to talk about how that went.
You did fine.
No, you were too nice. It went poorly, folks.
Well, it was a while, yeah. But you know, I've built so many more puzzles. I've built like the color shoot puzzle from Triple H, as you like to call it, which I love. I love that shorthand. And I've got the barrel puzzle. I've got the 4 stacked cubes of different colors, and it has several solutions. I wonder if that might recur because it came up during my season, and this is a returning season. Sometimes they repeat challenges as a result of that. So I memorized the easiest, most logical solution. I can solve that in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which out there, I didn't solve it, and minutes went by.
Right.
So I have been like really kind of, because I thought maybe I would get asked back. I never wanted to presume, but I thought maybe I would. And so I've been trying to just be as ready as I possibly can. I will say that my swimming is not as good as I want it to be, but it is better than it was.
Have you been practicing?
Yes, yes. So many different... My girlfriend showed me, my writing partner showed me, it's just something about me doesn't float. So, it's a struggle, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel better about my swimming then. I'm not Michael Phelps, but I feel better.
Yeah.
And also just kind of like, when I got the call, I know a lot of people got the call, and I know a lot of people said yes. And then when they pulled the trigger on me, I was like, okay, why me? Because there are a lot of deserving people that should have been here, and they're not. And I thought, well, it's season 38. I got voted out day 38. And I thought, because of that, I thought Kelly Wentworth will probably be here. And so I was so happy when I saw her at the airport.
I'm right, because like, you guys are traveling together.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I thought, okay, so maybe I've got my finger on the pulse of this game after all. But my spidey sense is tingling. I'm missing a piece. I think there's a couple other returnees. If it is entirely 38, I would expect Devin to be a part of that. And then I think we would need another woman. And I don't know Sydney, although she seems kind of tapped out of the whole Survivor world. So, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 38 versus something else. Maybe it's not even 38 at all. But... I've been trying to bone up on my Kelly Wentworth to figure out what angles I have there, and there aren't many.
Yeah, she's the one opponent that you know about right
yes.
now. What do you think about her?
First of all, Second Chance is my favorite season, and in no small part due to her gameplay, yeah. like finding that idol in the challenge, and just it was awesome, and she played really hard, and so I really admire her gameplay. But I will say that when I thought it was going to be her, I went back and I she did a recap with Rob, and she did the merge episode, episode 8 of my season, and Rob asked her, "Is there anybody you're rooting for?" And she said no, and I thought, well, okay, if she's not rooting for me by episode 8, she's not rooting for me ever, so that makes me think, does she maybe not like me? But that's okay, she doesn't have to like me. I like her, and I'm hoping that I can make a pitch to her. Look. We're returnees. There's going to be huge targets on our back from the newbie's perspective. We can be shields for each other. Let's go as far as we can. I got your back if you got mine. And right now, I actually would be fine sitting at the end with her. I'm not so sure she wants me there just based on her lack of enthusiasm for being in that interview. But right now, I would be okay with that.
Yeah. So. Things have changed for you since the show. You know, your arc on Survivor was very much about, like, transforming and coming out of your shell and living kind of a hunkered down life, going into it and being very afraid, fear of death and all that. I know that's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah,
It lingers.
It lingers.
Especially on the plane ride here.
Oh, how was the plane ride?
Awful. It's always awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But life has changed in other ways. You've mentioned your girlfriend a few times here. Your career is going really well. You're still working on the pilot, right?
Yes, yes. It's funny. Right before I left, it was being considered by Adult Swim, so I left without yet getting an answer. So maybe I'll come back to good news, or maybe I'll come back to bad news. So if I don't win the million, hopefully I get a series pickup.
But do you feel like having gone through what you went through, like, have you noticed, like, a qualitative change in your life, in the way you approach life, in the way life approaches you, and do you think that's going to come into this with you?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I feel a lot more confident. I have a girlfriend, as you said. Now, yes, and it's like that hasn't been the case for a very long time. In fact, like really since high school.
Yeah,
which is sad. I my
it's
girlfriend.
Not sad. It's whatever. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and my girlfriend's going to hate me saying this, but I do sometimes feel like kind of an underdeveloped 44-year-old child, right? But I'm using this experience to kind of, catch up to my peers and stuff. But yes, I think that, like, I am more confident now. And, you know, I was saying this to somebody else. It's kind of like it's the old Dark Knight thing where, you know, die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I wonder if that is where I'm headed this season. Kind of, the Heisenberg where you sort of lose like the morality that you had and you turn into this just monster and you enjoy it, but you're a monster, you know? So we'll see what happens.
Well, you're entering the game with the beard.
I am.
You developed the beard over the course, so you're already, you're looking the part.
I already have the bald head. Yeah. So yeah, all I need is a black hat and I'm there.
Yeah. You get that in a reward. If they have fedoras at one of these reward challenges, then you know what they want you to do.
That's perfect. Yeah. I'm so afraid I'm going to be on the island saying, "What's my name?" You know? That would just be awful. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, you mentioned before that you want to do something new.
Yes.
That you want to bring stuff to the game.
Yes.
That has not been done before. I was listening to our preseason interview from 33 shortly before we spoke, and it reminded me of you calling the shot on your fake idol, which we just saw in the finale in an incredible way.
Yeah, it was awesome. And by the way, I'm so glad that these newbies did. I don't think they got a chance to watch the finale. So
would that make you very nervous? They would have seen your, you know, been reminded of that.
Yeah, especially so soon before this game starts again. It's not anything I want in their heads right now, even though I guess it probably will be anyway. But because I think they tend to cast super fans these days. Yes, I would love to call my shot right now.
I would love nothing more.
I wrote some stuff down.
Oh my God, David Wright brought notes.
Again, I've been preparing this with my girlfriend for a couple months and just sort of like I've been thinking about it nonstop. And here we go.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
So, okay, well, not to be the Rolling Stones and play only the greatest hits, but I would actually like to make another fake immunity idol, which is not new. I've done that.
How long does that take to do? Like, what's the process start to finish?
You know, for me...
Including, like, the gathering.
Oh, God. Well, the gathering was weeks. Because I just wanted to have a lot of options, and I was like... pulling stuff off of beads off of tribal torches. I was pulling stuff off of tree mail. There were these other beads that were hanging from our tribe flag. I'm sorry, I'm like reaching in the air because I can see it. But and then there was a shell to reward, and that was the centerpiece. I knew I needed a centerpiece. A convincing fake immunity idol starts with that centerpiece. It's got to look good. And then it doesn't really matter what you hang off of it. So it was weeks of gathering and then 2 days of actually, like, painting and assembling it and sneaking off into the woods at night. I woke up covered in paint, and it was like Lady Macbeth. I had to, like, wash it out. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to see all this pink paint all
scene
over me.
Scene of the crime. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You killed Grimace.
Exactly, yeah. That's it. But in any case, I would like to make another fake immunity idol, and this time, put a clue on the tree the way they did in Triple H. So someone will see the clue, and then they'll go to the well, dig 5 feet away, and find my fake idol with rules that I've written up on a parchment or canvas using the tribal or the paint that we get at Merge.
How's your penmanship?
I've been working on that, and it's, it won't look exactly like this, but it'll look something
I'm looking at the penmanship, and it's good. It's good. It's good typeface. Good font.
Thank you.
Strong font.
Thank you. To call my shot again, and we'll see if this actually happens. I wanted to create... I don't think this has ever happened, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there's ever been a fake advantage created.
I don't think so either.
Okay, I want to be the first to do that. We call it the soul vote advantage. And I'll just read you what the text I plan on putting there. Congratulations, you have found the soul vote advantage. This allows you to cancel voting at tribal council and send home any person of your choosing. If you intend to use this advantage, you must reveal it at tribal council and announce who you are sending home before any votes are cast. So what I'm hoping is that it will create a rift between two people and they can have their war and I'll just be on the sidelines, kind of like Littlefinger or something from Game of Thrones. You know, I want to make some things happen that kind of leave me safer than maybe I would be otherwise.
Chaos is a fake advantage.
It is, yeah, exactly. And
what form would that take in terms of, like, how would you present that?
Yeah, I've got a few ideas about that. I mean, it would be some kind of parchment or some kind of, like, burlap from a rice bag or something. And, I would go off into the woods at night, paint it as best I can, make it look good, get the centered font. And then I would, I'd roll it up, tie some beads around it, and then hide it. Either in, like, you know, the tree mail little hut, or I thought it also might be fun if I'm on a reward with some other people to hide it, you know, surreptitiously in one of the, you know, bowls or something so people find it. I've got lots of ideas about that. Also, I thought maybe about tying it under the shelter the way they did with idols. Who knows? I'll have to figure that out while I'm out there.
But one of the things that was so great about the idol that you got Jay on was that you kind of, like, you walked him to it, right? Like, you led him to it. You led him to where it was. So, like, is there an art in terms of, like, guiding the person you want to have the fake thing to the fake thing?
Well, you know, I mean, that was... There's an art for sure, and I don't know that I am the artist. I think that, like, it was a bit of a happy accident. Partly it's because there were so few people left And he certainly was the guy I wanted to find it. But I did worry that morning because Ken was in front of him. No, sorry, he wasn't. Ken was in the middle. But I did worry that Ken was going to see it. But Ken was just staring at his feet and just lost in his own world. And yeah, meanwhile, like, you know, Jay is like doing like the Cylon thing, scanning the ground, and he saw it. But yeah, it's that's the thing. It will hurt me if someone I don't want to find it finds it.
So I gotta imagine that you're wanting to not only control where it goes, and you can only control that so much.
Yeah.
But you want to be able to see it go.
Yes.
Like that's probably the most controllable, most important thing. Is like you have eyes on where it is and when it can be taken.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was great because when we were walking past that coconut with it, by the way, which at night seemed like a good symbol, in the light of day is like, what is that blotchy pink thing? But people want to believe, right? That's the thing. Things don't have to be perfect out there because people want to believe and they'll lie to themselves because they're so desperate for it to be real.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought he saw it, and then I went, and then when we got to the camp, he said, I want to go get some water. It's like, that's weird. We just walked by the well. And then I went back there later and I saw the coconut split in half. I'm like, oh, I got him. I think I got him.
Joey Amazing, Aubrey Bracco, Kelly Wentworth, David Wright. These four veteran players return to Survivor with more than 200 days of playtime across their combined 7 stints on the show. How many days will they log in the game ahead? That's a very complicated question. One that's complicated even further by the 14 new players they're about to go up against. Up next, First One Out presents Joe and Aubrey's side of the new Survivor cast, the Comma Tribe. First One Out presents The People vs. Extinction, a Survivor Season 38 cast preview. It's a podcast written, produced, and hosted by Josh Wigler. That's me! And it's a collaboration between The Hollywood Reporter and Rob Has a Podcast. Taryn Armstrong is our editor. He's also a robot. Music for this season comes from Moonrock, the electronic duo known in the real world as Paul Koch and Scott Sakariu. Listen to their full debut album, Death of a Spaceman, at thisismoonrock.com. Check out the video version of this podcast on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel. Follow me on social media, at Round Howard, and head to thr.com/survivor for more in the lead up to The Edge of Extinction, premiering February 20th.